We continue our learning of the Nishmas Tavi ben Menachem Shem Chaim Yaakov Mitzvah Nichos Elio. We are in Erech and Perek Beis Mishnah. Now, this is a very lengthy Mishnah with many intricacies, especially when it comes to the laws of Nida, which we'll get to. So we'll do the best we can to try to simplify matters. The Mishnah here begins by saying, Ein ba'arachin pachos misela velo yaser al chamishim sela. Erechin is never going to be less than a sela. Sela is 4 dinar, 4 zuz. And it's never going to be more than 50 sela. Now, sela is the Mishnaic word for the Torah's word shekel. So we know that chamishim sela, 50 sela, 50 shekel, is the value, as we discussed already, is the value of a male between 20 and 60. So we understand very well that that's the highest number that we have. The lowest number you have in the Torah, though, is 3 sela. 3 sela was for a child, a female, between 1 month and 5 years. That's the lowest value, fixed value, which is 3 sela. But, so why does the Mishnah say the highest is 50, but it's never going to be less than a sela? It should be never less than 3. So the answer is because the Torah says, V'imachume erkecha. Let's say the person is very poor. Now the Kohen is ma'arich. He appraises, he assesses what a person is capable of giving. Al pi asher tasig yad hanoder ya'arichenu hakohen. It all depends on what he's capable of donating. So the Mishnah here teaches us that even that if one who is ma'arich, one who makes this erech, promises, vows this fixed value to the Beis HaMikdash, but he's an ani. He doesn't have the fixed value the Torah demands, the 50 shekel, the 30 shekel, the 5 shekel, the 10 shekel, 20, depending on the, as we said many times, the age and the gender. He doesn't have. He only has a sela. So the Mishnah here says, you can potentially give a sela. V'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel ha-kodesh. That pasuk teaches us, all erechin that you marich should not be less than a shekel. Shekel is what the Mishnaic term is, a sela. So that's why v'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel hakodesh. The Torah therefore gives this leniency that there's a possibility that you can give a shekel, a sela, and that would be sufficient. And of course, as we said, v'lo yaser al chamishim sela, it's never going to be more than 50. So Kate, so the Mishnah explains how this plays itself out. Nasan sela, person, he promised to give, to the erech of a 40-year-old. So a 40-year-old male. 40-year-old male is 50 shekel, but doesn't have 50 shekel. He doesn't even have 10 shekel. He only has 1 shekel, 1 sela. So the Mishnah here says, okay, he gives a sela. It's an ani who said, erki alai, erek ploni alai, just doesn't have the money. He only has a sela. So he should give a sela to Hektesh. And then he has achieved his goal. He has fulfilled his neder. But then, v'he'eshir, now he became wealthy. Ein onosen klum. He doesn't have to add anything to that erech because he was yotze with the sela that he gave before he became wealthy. Pachos misela, though, but if he only gives less than a sela, and that's all he had. But still, he gave less than a sela on an erech that he, a vow that he gave, that he promised to the Beis HaMikdash. V'heshir, now he became wealthy. Nosin chamishim sela. If the person, could be himself, could be someone else, that who's the subject of the erech, is between 20 and 16 as a male, though now he has to give 50 sela, which means he's not yotze with what he gave when he was poor, even though that's all he could afford, because he gave less than a sela. Less than a sela is zero, it's nothing. So let's say, though, the person has 5 sela, but the subject of the erech is the value is more than 5 sela. So what should he do? So Rabbi Meir Omer, Eino Nosein Ela Achas. Give 1 sela. You can't give the fixed value of the person because you can't afford it. The fixed value was 10 or 20 or 30 or 50, and you only have 5, so don't bother giving anything. Don't bother giving the 5 sela that you have. Give 1 sela. You don't gain anything by giving 5 sela if the value was more than 5 sela. So give 1 sela, then you're yotze. No, sin is kulam. No, you give what you have. Meaning if the person was between 20 and 60, a male, and the value was 50, and you only have 5 sela, don't give 1 sela, give whatever you can. That's what the Chachamim hold. Then the Mishnah says, Ein be'erchin pachos misela, v'lo yaser al chamishim sela. It's redundant, we just said that. That's the way we started the Mishnah. Erchin is going to be less than a sela, not more than 50. The Gemara says that this phrase is coming to teach us that less than a sela There is no concept of that when it comes to Erchin, but that implies that more than a Selah, there is such a concept. You don't have more than 50, but less than 50, there is such a concept. What does that mean? So that's basically telling us that we follow the Chacham's opinion against Rabbi Meir. What it's saying is that they're true. Less than a Selah you don't have, but more than a Selah you do have. Which means, if let's say you really, the Erech, so the subject of the Erech was 50 Shekel, 50 Selah, and you only have 5 Selah, so the halacha is to give the 5 selah. So that's exactly what it's saying. Less than a selah is nothing, but more than a selah is something. Higher than 50 is nothing, but less than 50 is something. Even if you can't give the full 50, give what you have. So that is, Mishnah basically is reiterating this point to show you that we follow the opinion of the Chacham. So now we begin that once the Mishnah started on this, you don't have less than this and not more than that. So we're going to see the rest of the perek is going to give other examples in Shas, where we have a similar, in Halacha, where we have a similar concept. Not less than this, and not more than this. And the next topic is that of Anida. Part of what makes the laws of Anida complicated is the fact that our practice today is different than the practice in the past. Women have been machmir upon themselves, that whether they have the status, or even though they may have the status of Anida, since we're not sure if they're Anida or a Zava, as we will describe in a moment, therefore they always count 7 clean days, even though that's a halacha that a regular Anida would not have to follow. According to Min HaTorah, a woman who begins to menstruate, so that's what we call Pesach Nidasa, the opening of her Nida days, is going to be a Nida for 7 days. Whether she sees blood flow for 1 day or for all 7 days, she's a Nida for 7 days once she starts bleeding, she begins to menstruate. And that's Min HaTorah, 7 days of Tumah and prohibited to be with her husband. If on the 7th day she stops seeing blood, so Min HaTorah, she can go to the mikvah that night, which is now the night of the 8th, and she is Tahora. That's it. Just a week, and that's all. If she would see blood from the 8th day and on, so those next days are not considered Nida days. Those are called Ziva days, which means that after the 7 days of Nida, a woman has the Pesach Nidasa, begins to bleed for a day, 2 days, 5 days, doesn't matter. Those are the 7 days of Nida automatically. After the 7 days of Nida are 11-day potential days of Ziva, which means if she sees blood during those days, so that blood has a different status. What is that? So it means the following. Let's say during those 11 Ziva days, potential Ziva days, which follow the Nida days, follow the 7 Nida days, during one of those 11 days she sees blood. Let's say she sees blood, a blood flow for 1 day. So, and that's it. So the halach is that she then can have 1 day of tahara. She has to make sure 1 day, the next day is tahara, and then she can go to the mikvah after that day. So that's what we call a shomeres yom keneged yom. She guards 1 day corresponding to the day of Tumah. But the same thing would be true if she sees blood for 2 consecutive days. She's also Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. She guards 1 day B'tahara, even though it's 2 days of bleeding, and then she could go to the mikvah that night. So that's no need to count any clean days at all. So far, no one's counting clean days. A regular knee doesn't have to count clean days. As we said, a regular knee does Tumeah for 7 days, and that's all, then goes to the mikvah. But if during the 7 Ziva days she becomes not what we were discussing, a Zava Ktana, which is 1 or 2 consecutive days, but sees blood for 3 consecutive days, she's no longer a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. Now she has to count Shiva Nikiyim, 7 clean days. And then after those 7 clean days, she is able to go to the mikvah. And that's the reason why all the Nidos today will follow the practice of a Zava, and because we're not sure, are we in the Nida days or the Zava days, not being sure, this way we're Machmir, and count 7 clean days all the time. After the 11 Ziva days are over, and then she begins to bleed again at any point, that becomes Pesach Nidasa again. So you will have 18 days, really. You have this 7 days of Nida, and then the 11 days of Ziva that follow. And that's the whole, what we call, Tekufas Aveses of a woman. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that after 18 days, a woman is now going to all of a sudden have Pesach Nidasa. It's very likely for a full month cycle, so that she's not going to bleed right after that amount of time. Whenever she begins to bleed again after the 11 days of Ziva are over, So that is going to be Pesach Nidasa. So then, and of course, if you're counting Sheva Nekiyim, so you can't, there's no, the Pesach Nidasa doesn't start then. In fact, what would happen is, if during Sheva Nekiyim, then she bleeds, so then she ruins the count, then she has to eventually count Sheva Nekiyim, and then Pesach Nidasa is very much pushed off. That could be what we call a Re'i Rechoka, where she sees blood many days after the 11 days of Ziva may be over. But then there's another point also. Let's say she sees a flow of blood during at the end of the Ziva days, three consecutive days, the 9th, then the 10th, then the 11th of the Ziva. So that's that makes her a Zava Gedola, and therefore she has to. So now she has to count 11. Has to count 7 clean days. Let's say though she saw 2 days of the last 2 of the 11 days, and 1 day afterwards. So the 10th day of the Ziva days, and the 11th day of the Ziva days, she saw blood, or maybe just the last day, either way, she's only a Zava Ketana. So even if she sees blood now on a third day in a row, consecutive days, since that's no longer part of the 11 days, we consider, the 11 days of Ziva are over, so therefore she's not a Zava Gedola, and we assume that that last day that she began to bleed is Pesach Nidasa, and we begin the count again. Meaning, that makes her Nida, and then we follow the laws of Nida. If she would bleed 3 consecutive days where one of those, that last day was no longer part of the 11 days of Ziva. So our Mishnah is dealing with what we call a Toa, a woman who's made a mistake, meaning she sees Dam just unaware whether she's in the middle of the Shivas Yemei Hanida or the Acharas or Yemei Ziva. How can she return back to Pesach Nidasa to know, okay, now I'm starting my cycle again and I know what the laws are. It's important to know why you're Anida. The laws are different. So the Mishnah here is telling us, Ein Pesach Batoa, Pachos Mishiva, a Toa, a woman who's in this state where she's unaware, she sees blood, she's unaware though, whether she's in the Ziva days or the Nida days. So for her to return to her Pesach Nida, to the beginning of the menstrual cycle, where we know you have 7 days of Nida, etc., you're not going to have less than 7 days, velo yaser al shivaser, and not more than 17. So obviously there are many variables to this, and we could discuss many, many cases. We'll try to simplify it. Now, what the Mishnah is pointing out is that when we speak about 7 days or up to 17 days, we're speaking about Nekiyim. We're talking about 7 clean days. So normally, a Zava only has to keep 7 clean days. But if you don't know where this woman is, so there's a potentially, you may ask, you have to keep 17 consecutive clean days. That would not be Shiva Nekiyim. That would be Shiva Asar Nekiyim. So why is that? So take the following. Let's talk about a case where she'd actually have to keep 17 days. Let's say, meaning we don't know where she is in the cycle, but let's assume now her previous cycle ended and she sees a flow of blood today. And maybe that's the beginning, maybe that's Pesach Nidasa. Maybe that's the beginning of her 80-day cycle. If that's true, she becomes Anita today, and this cycle is not going to end for another 17 days. You have today and then another 17. When the whole Nida and Zava cycle, Tkufas Vesta, are going to conclude. Now, it's also possible that today is the second day of the cycle, and it's not Pesach Nidasa, it's the second day. So then, if you want to, so when will the Nida and Zava days end? The full Tkufas Vesta will be in 16 days from now. And it could be, and it's a third day, so maybe 15 days, etc. So we see why 17 would be the max, because that would mean that now she sees a flow of blood that maybe she doesn't know where she is right now in terms of the days. But assuming this were Pesach Nidasa, so then she would know that all of those 18 days are over in 70 days from now. But that would mean that she would have to count 17 clean days, and then for sure she would know that the next time she bleeds is Pesach Nidasa. But as we said, it could be less than that. Where do you have, and these would have to be consecutive, 17 consecutive clean days, because if, let's say she began to bleed before the end of those 17 days, maybe that would make her a Zava. And if it makes her a Zava, she can't start a new cycle until you count Sheva Nekiyim. As we said, you never become a Pesach. You don't start Pesach Nidasa until Sheva Nekiyim are going to be over. So that's why you need all 70 days. maybe 16, maybe 15, depending on where she is in the Nida days. Now, there's also a possibility that it's only 7 days. How's that? So to have 7 clean days only, to know that now the next bleeding is going to, when those days are over, it's going to be Pesach Nidasa, so then we have to assume that, that would only be if the bleeding that she has now made her a Zava, because remember, we don't know. Maybe the bleeding made her a Nida. There's nothing, and there's no Zava to talk about. No Shimon the King to talk about. So assuming she becomes a Zava, and she's a Zava, it's the end. It's the last 7, well, it's really 8 days from the end of those that 11-day cycle. She bled, and now there's 7 days over till day 18. So then, if that's all there is, so then all you need is Shimon the King, and then the next time she bleeds is Pesach Nidasa. So because we don't know, so the chumra would be, depending on, as we said, we're not sure, it can never be less than a week, and it'll never be more than 17 days Shiva Nikim. So there are many cases that could come up, but that's to simplify matters. Then the Mishnah speaks about Negoyim. Negoyim speaking about Tzaras. Ein ba Negoyim pachus mishavua achad v'lo yaser al shlosha shavuos. So we're talking about Tzaras. So Tzaras could be on a person, could be on a house, could be on garments, as we know. So these types of, this tumah, the Kohen has to look at it, and he puts the person away for hesker. He confines the person, or the house, or the garment for a week to see what will happen. So this, if it doesn't appear at the end of the week, so he puts them away for another week, and then at the end of the second week, so then if the certain signs are there, so Kohen will declare declare tumah, and if not, so then in the case of a house, there's another week, a garment, no, we don't assume that. Different halachas about that. But the bottom line is, it's never going to be less than one Shavuot, 1 week, and it's never going to be more than 3 weeks. The Torah speaks about shchin and mechva, boils, or scorched. So these cases, that when we speak about this type of tzaras, all you need is a hesker for a week. After that, the Kohen is able to clarify what's going to happen. And when it comes to nigei batim on the house, so that may potentially take 3 weeks to clarify everything. So that's another example of opa ein poch. You don't have less than this. You don't have more than this. Perek beis mishnah beis. We continue with this. Ein poch hasin me'arba chodeshim hamu'ubarim bashana v'lo nire yaser al shmona. When it comes to chodesh me'ubar, so there are some months that have 30 days, some that have 29 days. And so the Mishnah here says that the Chacham speak about making decisions about an extra day in a month, an Ibar HaChodesh, so it's never going to be more. There are 12 months in the year. You'll never have more than 8 months Me'ubar that are Me'ubar, 8 months with an extra with 30 days, and you're never going to have less than 4 of those. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to be alternate. Could be that they could have 2 months consecutive out of 30 days. But it's never more than 8 and never less than 4. Shtei Halechem. Shtei Halechem, which we're beginning on Shavuos. We've had this in the past. And Menachos. So, Ne'echolos, Ein Pachos Mishnayim, V'lo Yesar Shlosha. You'll never end up eating them less than 2 days from when they were baked and not more than 3 days. Why is that so? So, the Shtei Halechem, normally, they're baked, obviously, on Erev Shavuos, and you're eating on Shavuos. Shavuos is 1 day. That's the second day that they were, after they were baked. Baked the first day next day. So that's the first day. But if Erev Shavuos is on Shabbos, so then you can't bake them on that day on Erev Shavuos. You have to bake them on Friday on Erev Shabbos. So now, if they're eating on Shavuos, it's going to be the third day that they're baked. That's the Lechem HaPanim. Lechem HaPanim, which we know are arranged on the Shulchan in the Heichal. So hopefully you can't bake them. The Afiyah is not Doche Shabbos or Yontif. Ne'achal in Pachos Mitisha V'lo Yasser Al Achadasar. The Kohanim will eat them not less than 9 days after they were baked, because we know that they were baked the previous week. They were arranged on the Shulchan. They sat there the whole week and only eaten on Shabbos. So typically it's on Shabbos is the 9th day after they were baked. V'lo Yasser, not more than 11. How is that so? So if Yontif, let's say, falls out on Friday, you have to bake the Lechem HaPanim from Erev Yontif, which is on Thursday. So you end up eating them on the 10th day they were baked. Let's say the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah end up falling out before Shabbos, Thursday and Friday. You have to bake them on Wednesday. And then you're going to be only eating them on Shabbos, which is going to be the 11th day for when they were baked. Katan, Nimol, Ein Pachos Mishmona, Lo Yeser al Shneimasar. A child is given a bris mila not less than 8 days from when he was born, that's typical, and not more than 12. How do you have that? So normally, of course, it's on the 8th day. Let's say the baby was born Ben Ashmashos during twilight, between Shki and Seisa Kochavim, so we give him the bris on the 9th day. Because we're not sure, Ben Ashmashos, is that really the previous day or is it the next day? We have to push it off to the 9th day. So we have to assume that we start counting 8 days from the night after that Ben Ashmashos. So it's a suffix she, we have to do it on the 9th. Let's say the baby is born Ben Ashmashos of Friday of Erev Shabbos. So here we give him the bris on 10 days, on the 10th day from his birth, because on Shabbos we're not going to bris mila because it's a suffix. We don't if it's suffix whether it's really the 8th day or the 9th day. So we don't do a bris mila unless we know for sure it's the 8th day. So then potentially that could be the 10th day. And then you could have Yontif, which falls out on Sunday. So then you can't give him the bris mila on Yontif. So he's going to be given the bris on the following day, which is potentially the 11th day. And then, let's see, it's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah fall out on Sunday and Monday, in those days, Rosh Hashanah Kovan on Sunday. So then the bris mila is going to be given on Tuesday, which is potentially the 12th day from when the baby is born.